So why don't we do this? If you have your Bible there with you, why don't we go ahead and make our confession, and then I'll give you time. You'll be able to find where we're going, okay? All right? So if you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My heart is open. Sorry. That's what happens when you try to get your mind going one direction and your throat trying to swallow in another. Thank y'all for picking me up. Picking up the slack there. All right. Hey, I love you too. Oh, boy. Well, someone said if you can laugh at yourself, you'll always have something to laugh about. So, Mark chapter 12. Would you join me there? Mark chapter 12. Gay, I see your hand about there. Okay. All right. All right. Mark chapter 12. And we'll read a few verses here beginning. This section actually starts in verse 18. Just for sake of time, we won't actually, maybe I'll pick up into it just a little bit, but just let me have a little background. One of the religious groups at the time of Jesus, the Jewish groups called Sadducees, and they did not believe, they believed the law, especially if you would say it that way, especially the first five books, but they didn't believe in the spirit world, so they didn't believe in angels, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they came to Jesus one day trying to trick him. They wanted to test him. And they said, "Teacher, Moses wrote that if one man is married to a wife and he dies and he has brothers, that the brother, he dies childless, that the living brother is to marry the deceased, the widow, and provide children in his brother's name to carry the family name on." And so there was a family. And the first man was married. They had no children. He died. And so she married one of his other brothers. And he died. And she married another brother. And he died. And she married another brother. He died. And she married another. I would ask, what's going on with that? If I were one of the brothers, I'd say, I don't know here. No, I'm just saying. So they said there were seven brothers. They all married her. They all died. They didn't have any children. Then the woman died. So in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? That was the question they asked. And this is, let's pick up in verse 23. It says, "Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife." Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God." Those two are very important. "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Now, he doesn't say we turn into angels, but rather we do not marry at that time in the new creation. Verse 26, "But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses," this would have been back in the book of Exodus, "in the burning bush passage," remember how there was a bush on fire, but it wasn't consumed, and Moses saw it, and he approached it, wanted to see this sight, and the voice of the Lord spoke to him from that bush, basically, and he said, "Take your shoes off. The place where you're standing is holy ground." And in that passage, it says, Jesus said how God spoke to him, saying, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living, you are therefore greatly mistaken. So Jesus said, you are mistaken, and you are greatly mistaken about the resurrection because you do not know the Word of God, and you do not know the power of God. But as it comes to the resurrection, just for the record, when God spoke to Moses from that burning bush, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all dead physically, but they were very much alive to God because God is not the God of the dead. God is the God of the living. And that's the message this morning. God is the God of the living. God is the God of the living. Would you say that with me? God is the God of the living. And those two that Jesus mentioned, the Word of God and the power of God, how many know those are not just for the resurrection? We need God's Word and we need God's power right now. At least I do. And thank God it is available. So God gave us His Word so that we could know Him and know His will. Just think of what we wouldn't know about God if we didn't have His Word. But He also gave us His Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and draw us to the truth that Jesus is Lord, so that when we believe the Word of God in our heart and call on the Lord to save us, His Spirit enters our heart and He takes us from spiritual death and lifts us to spiritual life. And then His Spirit living on the inside of us guides us into all truth and empowers us to be faithful followers of Jesus. Because He's the God of the living. I almost feel like saying all that again. He's the God of the living. Thank God for His Word and thank God for His Holy Spirit. So this morning, I just like to share three characteristics of those who are spiritually alive. And there are, of course, many more. I'm just staying with the chapters that we've been in the Gospel of Mark. How many of you remember this show is on TV called The Lifestyles of the... Okay, so y'all knew that, all right. Well, how about Lifestyles of the Spiritually Alive, okay? And here we go. Here's the first one. If you want to just write this one down, I'll give you the verses. One characteristic, lifestyles of the spiritually alive, is giving. Giving. And I'll just share three this morning. But this is one, and we'll read just a little further down in Mark chapter 12 about a lady. Well, it's not just her, but several people who gave. And again, I want to say, I just thank God for your giving and your heart, because we were able to not only provide for needs here, but we're able to pass on a blessing. I don't remember, I know we budgeted $25,000 for missions, that we upped our giving last year from $200 a month to $250 a month for those. Linda, do you happen to remember how much the church actually gave that came in, we gave to us and passed on? We end up giving altogether, including what we gave, over $70,000 to missions last year. And so I just thank God. So I'm not saying giving because people don't give. I'm saying thank God that people can give and we're able to pass along that blessing. So I'm thankful for that. The Bible says this in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. It says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw, I like how this is worded, and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. And one poor or destitute widow came and threw in two mites, two little small copper coins that wouldn't actually equal a penny. Let me pause there just a second. Jesus sat and He watched how people, not just what they gave, how they gave. The reason, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with passing an offering plate. Please, we used to do that when we started the church. And years ago, we were still meeting in the elementary school. We were renting the school there for 3.5 years when we started the church. And one Sunday evening, I went to Richmond to New Life Outreach. They had a guest speaker, Dr. Michael Brown, I believe. And Pastor Victor Torres and his wife came up, shared a testimony, Pastor Carmen, of how when she first went into a church setting, it may have been more like a Pentecostal type church, and she wasn't used to people clapping and so forth, and it was kind of new for her. But the people brought their offerings up to the front and put their offerings in a basket. She says she didn't have anything to give, I guess monetarily. But she said, she went to the basket and said, "Lord, I'm going to give you me." And when she said that, it was just like lit up in my heart. I said, "Man, I want to do that." And I'm saying that as a Christian. But I wanted to, because that was, people used to bring their gifts forward. Again, nothing wrong with. So I thought, well, I can't just throw it on the church. I'm going to share with the church, give a little time, and we'll keep passing the offering plate. But eventually, maybe we can do that. And as soon as I shared it with the church, the people who were there at the time, some of you said, "We want to do that now." And so that's why. So again, nothing wrong with passing. But I just ask, whatever you give, when you give, even when you give online, would you first give yourself and give your heart and then give it and pray over your offering and give it to be a blessing? So Jesus knows, he sees and knows not just what we give, but how we give and why. There's an interesting verse in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 8, I think it is. It says, "Here men receive tithes, but in the Holy of Holies in heaven, Jesus receives them." Think of where your gifts are going ultimately. That blesses me. And so Jesus said in verse 43, Jesus called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who've given to the treasury." Now, did she put in more money? No, but she put in more of herself, I believe. Verse 44 says, "For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her need, out of her poverty, her lack, put in all she had, her whole livelihood." This just amazed me. What did this lady know, this destitute widow, know and believe about God that she could give herself so freely and give what she had? I looked that word up, livelihood, because I said, I got to figure this out. It can actually refer to one's daily life as well as possessions. That's why I believe she wasn't just giving her little small copper coins. It represented that she had given herself to the Lord. And that's how I want to give like that. I want to give in faith. I want to give with that kind of faith that, first of all, God owns everything anyway. He owns it all. So I give in faith that I want to recognize as a testimony that he owns it, and we are to manage wisely everything that he entrusts to our care, but also want to give in faith, trusting that he's going to meet my need and to meet our needs right here. I also want to give in love, because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So the Lord loved us and gave himself for us. I believe we can give with love and faith and give ourselves to him and give with thanksgiving. That's how, wouldn't it be great if we gave in love and gratitude just because Jesus took the punishment for our sins and we don't have to go to hell and we can be forgiven and we get to be in heaven forever and we're going to have eternal life? God is the God of the living. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them that? God is the God of the living. And one characteristic of the spiritually alive is giving. Not just money, but first giving our heart, giving ourselves, and then giving our money because we recognize the lordship of Jesus. Here's the second one. You turn back to chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Not only is giving a lifestyle of the spiritually alive, forgiving is a lifestyle of the spiritually alive. So giving and forgiving. Forgive me, but I'm going to, forgive me. Speaking of forgiveness, I'm going to state the obvious. Ready? Forgiveness is not easy. All right, thank you, somebody. Forgiveness is not easy. It is scriptural, but it requires faith in God, doesn't it? It's no accident that Jesus said, have faith in God. Then he goes on and talks about the prayer and believing and forgiveness. But it starts with, it requires faith in God, because we have to have faith in the Word of God and receive his full and free forgiveness for our sins, because that is the basis that we forgive. We forgive because we are forgiven. And we believe God for power to forgive others. This scripture here gives the context, the unforgiveness blocks the blessings of God's forgiveness to us. And it hinders our prayers. So unforgiveness blocks the blessings of God's forgiveness and hinders our prayers. Now, if we were to ask any Christian, do you want your prayers to be hindered? Do you want God's blessings to be blocked in your life? Of course, we're going to say no. But we've got to take the steps in order to keep the airways open, so to speak. It's helpful to remember how much we have been forgiven. Jesus spoke these words in the context of a fig tree that had leaves but no fruit, and the cleansing of the temple. They were on the way to the temple, and he was hungry. He sees a fig tree with leaves. Those trees, if they had leaves, especially full leaves, that would be an indication, a sign that it also had fruit. So he went to it. It had the leaves, but it had no fruit. And he said, let no fruit grow from you ever again. And the next morning, they go by the tree, and Peter said, Lord, look, that tree is dried up from the roots. Then Jesus said, have faith in God. This is the context of it. See, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first few verses there, it speaks of characteristics of people in the last days. Two of those characteristics are unforgiveness and having a form of godliness but denying its power. And so just like a fig tree that has leaves but no fruit, it's possible to be outwardly religious and have outward works, but not the corresponding fruit of knowing God in Christ's likeness. But the spiritually alive give and forgive. Thank God. Do you see why I'm saying now we really need the Word of God and the power of God? Because we need to know God's will, but we also need that resurrection power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to live it out. I'm not saying this morning like I've arrived. We all struggle with this at times. It's the battle of the will, isn't it? But by God's grace, we can forgive because we are forgiven, and the spiritually alive are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's a characteristic of those who are spiritually alive to give and forgive, because God is the God of the living. Amen. I remember hearing Jensen Franklin, I think it was about a year ago or however long it was, say, married couples don't fall out of love, they fall out of forgiveness. I think there's some wisdom to that statement, isn't it? So God is the God of the living. So those who are spiritually alive, giving, forgiving, and then finally serving. That's back in chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll look up a few verses. Some commentators believe this one verse here I'll show you is really the key. It's like a theme of the whole gospel of Mark. God is the God of the living. Giving, forgiving, serving. Would you say that with me? giving, forgiving, serving. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you who desires to be first shall be slave of all." And this verse here is the key. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Earlier, the disciples were on the road, and Jesus went up to them and said, "What were y'all having a dispute about on the road earlier?" They look at each other because they had a dispute over which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus brought a little child. He said, "Oh, you want to be great? Be willing to humble yourself like this little child." Because see, in God's kingdom, it's kind of reversed from the world's kingdom. In God's kingdom, greatness is in serving. And all throughout Scripture, serving is always connected to worship. Whomever or whatever really gets our worship will also get our service. Worship and service go together. So it's a characteristic of the spiritually alive. And isn't Jesus not only our inspiration, isn't he our example? Think about him. The Lord of glory left heaven to clothe himself with humanity, to serve us and give his life on the cross as the ransom to pay to free us from Satan's tyranny and death and hell in the grave. Thank God for what he did for us. He's a perfect example. They go together. And I'll close with this in Mark chapter 9. Would you turn to verse 1? Mark chapter 9. This isn't on the screen, but I was just reading through this even yesterday, and there are five contrasts I would like you to see between this account in Mark 9 and what would come a little time later at Calvary while Jesus was on the cross, all right? So Mark chapter 9, verse 1, then we'll prepare for communion. The Bible says, "And Jesus, he said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power.' Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them." Matthew, Mark, and Luke all write of this event. And it says in verse 3, "His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them." He could make a commercial, couldn't he, with the... Verse 4, "And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." So Elijah and Moses are there on this mountain talking with Jesus. "And Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles or booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid." Sometimes if you don't know what to say, it's better just go ahead and leave it unsaid. Fear can cause us to say and do some things that, well, anyway, you get the idea. Aren't you glad the Bible's real? In verse 7, "And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.' Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus." Jesus gave Peter, James, and John a view of what everyone will see when he returns in power and great glory. And let me just share these with you, these five contrasts. And if you want to write them down, fine, but I put them on the website, So let me give you the website, and that way you can have them. It's the initials of the church, CLM, and the word family, clmfamily.org. And if you look from the pastor, you'll see it on there. It's today's message, all right? I typed it out for you. So clmfamily.org. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the Old Testament prophets. And Peter said, let's make a little tabernacle for all of you. We'll hang out here a while. They were godly men, but Jesus has no equal. He is in a class by himself. A couple weeks ago, I shared a message. Who is the real Jesus? He's creator, deliverer, healer, and savior. And then we're to love him with all of our heart because our heart affects our spiritual understanding and our scriptural living. That was last week's message. See, those Sadducees, they were familiar with the law, yet they didn't have the spiritual understanding to recognize Jesus as Lord and Messiah. So let me just give you these real quick. First of all, Matthew said that Jesus' face shone like the sun. That was on this mountain. On Calvary, his face was beaten and bloodied because they punched him and blindfolded him and men pulled out his beard. I have read that your head can actually swell to about twice its normal size. I wonder why sometimes they didn't even recognize him after this. It says that his clothes gleamed. At Calvary, he was stripped of his clothes. On this mountain, Moses and Elijah appeared and talked with Jesus. On the cross, Jesus was crucified between two criminals. On that mountain, a bright cloud overshadowed them. At Calvary, darkness overshadowed them as God covered the sun for 3 hours from noon until three. And on this mountain of transfiguration, the Father honored his Son. But on the cross, the Father forsook his Son as he paid the price of the judgment for our sins. Thank God for what he did for us to take us from spiritual death to spiritual life. He's the God of the living. So I just ask you this morning, between you and God, are you spiritually alive? Are you a believer and a follower of Jesus? And if you're not, you can do it today, right now. You can open up your heart and just give yourself to him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and put your faith in him. And I would just ask again, between you and the Lord, maybe you're a Christian today. Are you giving, forgiving, and serving because you love Jesus? And if you can't say yes today, I'll just ask, will you? Will you give and forgive and serve? Maybe someone even here right now, and God is speaking to your heart about one of those areas, and you know the Lord, that's why you sense it. I'd like to pray for you right now. Please remember, let's have an open heaven today. Let's come to the table with nothing between our heart and God's. And so can we just go to the Lord in prayer? And you just ask the Lord to search your heart. God is the God of the living. And if you know him, if there's one of these areas today that you just know you need to make right first with him, would you take your time and do it right now? First, give yourself to the Lord. Then just give that. If it's some hurt or offense, I understand. But God loves you, and he'll take anything we give him, and he'll bring healing. Please don't let it hinder your walk with him and the fruitfulness of his grace in your life. Is there anyone here today? You just, if you keep your head bowed, your eyes closed, I'd like to just pray for you. And then we're going to sing the song, Offering. Is there anyone here today who would just say, Brother Rocky, I want prayer for one area in my life. I'm not going to quiz you or interrogate you. I just want to pray for you. Is anyone here, you would just raise your hand and say, Brother Rocky, remember me in prayer. Would you hold them up just for a moment? I thank you. Thank God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. I just want to acknowledge you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, I'm so thankful for the people's hearts. And I'm thankful for the hands that represent what you are doing right now. Lord, I lift myself up too and say, Lord, help me. Whatever it is right now, by faith, because you have loved us and forgiven us, we give it over to you. Whatever area that is, we're going to say, Lord, no off limits. I want you to be Lord of all. So we come to the table today. We come rejoicing, we come gratefully, we come repentantly, but we come in faith, expecting. We're going to give and receive all that you have for us today. Bring healing to those who are hurting. Give wisdom maybe to how to handle certain relationships and disagreements or conflicts. Help us, Lord. Help us to just trust you and to stay close to you. In Jesus' name.